Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am John Milford, chair of the club's grown-ups forum and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite anyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. It's now my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Mary Furlong. Mary Furlong, Doctor of Education, Mary Furlong Associates President and CEO, is a leading authority on the baby boom generation as it moves toward and beyond age 50. She has guided the offline and online 45-plus market strategies of leading corporations and nonprofit organizations for more than 20 years. And her list of clients includes IBM, Johnson & Johnson, Merrill Lynch, Viacom, Advanced Publications, Procter & Gamble, Pfizer, Microsoft, Regional Bell Operating Companies, and AARP. Mary founded Mary Furlong Associates in 2003 to help socially and consumer-conscious companies understand the real needs of this growing market. In addition, Mary is the Dean's Executive Professor of Entrepreneurship at Santa Clara University's Levy School of Business. Mary is author of the book, Turning Silver into Gold, How to Profit in the New Boomer Marketplace, which is published in February 2007 by Financial Times Press. I want to welcome at this time our speaker, Mary Furlong.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Candace, and it's nice to be here with all of you. I was especially delighted to meet someone in the audience who I knew, I think, 25 years ago. And when 25 years ago, I was a young professor at USF, and I had the need to publish because you publish or perish in a university. And I had been in Washington, D.C. at Catholic U, and a colleague asked me one day, would you like to write a book called Computers for Kids Over 60? Have any of you heard of the book or seen it? And at the time, I thought, oh, that's great. I'll get a publication, and that'll work. And so I went to my babysitter, who was about 72 at the time, and I said, Marie, would you be interested in learning how to use a computer? And my son was 2. He's now 6'2", 220. And she said, oh, absolutely. I really want to learn how to do this. And I thought, well, that's a great idea. Let me go and ask AARP for a grant to make this happen. And that didn't quite happen. It was too early. It was 1983. And so we bought Commodore VIC-20 computers and 300 baud modems. And I made lemonade and cookies and bought a flip chart and put all of this in the back of a non-air-conditioned Honda and went around to senior centers, church basements, and basically said to older adults, would you be interested in learning how to use a computer? And the power there was, it changed my life because I thought I was going to stay in technology and education. But the older adults that I met in those classes, I saw that the real need was not the technology. The real need was the reinstantiation of the role of older adults as leaders in society. So they didn't feel left out. And so people would come to our computer classes and they'd say, gee, I went to your class and I went out with my daughter and my son-in-law and I found out, I told my son, when my son-in-law said his boss wasn't user-friendly, I finally understood what it meant, you know. So we use a lot of words that are these computer jargon words, you know. Now, I was about 33 at the time. I'm now 60. And I've spent the last 25 years working in this field. And I have to tell you, I was at Santa Clara the other day in an Intuit workshop learning how to use spreadsheets. And I felt so like I had so much to learn, and there were whiz kids all around me. So I actually began to understand how it feels when the technology keeps changing and we want to stay up to date with it. But The magic bullet in that project was something that young people talk about all the time, social media, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter. What we did inside SeniorNet, which was the organization that we formed, was we found that older adults wanted to connect and talk with each other. They wanted to talk to their grandchildren, even though when they talked to their grandchildren, sometimes the response back they got to an email was, "Send money, Papa." that they didn't like so much. But so that while the technology in itself is a powerful tool, it was nothing compared to the talent and knowledge base of older adults. So I had the privilege of having a mentor in Lloyd Morissette. He, with Joan Cooney, created Sesame Street, and he wanted to do something for older adults. And so for 10 years, they funded the project. And he called me one day and said, "Gee, Mary, I'm going to retire from my giving away funding. You need to write a business plan." And I thought, well, I'm not a business person. I was running this nonprofit, and we were fortunate to have 100 centers across the country where older adults learned how to use the computer. Have any of you heard of SeniorNet? Okay, so any of you been to a SeniorNet center or program? There's some around the Bay Area still. And so I went up to the launch of Windows 95, and Bill Gates and Microsoft knew how to throw a party. There was a Ferris wheel, and from the top of the Ferris wheel, I looked down and I said, "This internet's going to be a really big thing." And I couldn't find anyone to fund the nonprofit in year 10. It was more challenging because typically in foundations, people, are any of you in the nonprofit sector? Yeah. So, you know, they like to fund the newbie thing. And so we were like a 9-year-old, you know. So, and I could see the power of e-commerce on the web and something that some of you that had spent work at Piper, like Marfrissa here in our audience, knew the power of the internet and e-commerce. And so I began to get calls from the venture capitalists on the right coast and the left coast, and they were interested and thought that seniors on the internet was one of the top 6 big ideas. So I did a deal. I had to find investors with a heart who would help endow the nonprofit that I started as part of the deal. Typically, you start a for-profit company and then a nonprofit company. So we had this nonprofit company. Then we started something called Third Age. We were going to call it Global Senior Network, but we realized that the baby boomers, we might have to come fix this here. Oh, the baby boomers were not going to be seniors. Sort of, hell no, we won't go in an RV to Florida. That's what our parents did. We're not going to Delray Beach. Not those of us that, you know, lived in Berkeley with a bus with a bed in the back and we're going to change the world. That was a different kind of person. We're going to define aging anew. And there's sort of this same kick-ass attitude that the boomers had when they were young that comes out when they get older. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So I developed Third Age, and we raised $3 million, $10 million, $89 million, and grew and sold an internet portal for baby boomers called Third Age. And then after that, I went back to the university. Actually, I was a candidate to run one of the largest nonprofits in aging in the country, and I didn't get the job because I said, "You really need to have online dating." And they thought, "Oh, that's so controversial." Well, you don't know. You know it's not controversial because I just heard from John that the session you had on online dating was one of the most popular sessions your grown-ups club at the Commonwealth Club ever had. So anyway, I said, the best thing I can do, I had lunch one day with Brad Vail, and he said, "Gee, I just judged the medical device competition at Stanford, and we funded a lot of the companies that came out of that." And I said, "What I need to do is work with entrepreneurs and businesses that care about this boomer market." Now, 91% of the net assets are in the hands of people over 40. So that's a really important topic sentence to remember. 91% of the net assets are in the hands of people over 40. Now, we don't have as many assets as we did 2 years ago, but we still, you know, That's where the money is. And so what I decided to do is work with entrepreneurs and companies and nonprofit organizations and somehow bring them all together through conferences and events. And I have to tell you, at 9 o'clock this morning, I had a 75-year-old woman who was calling me from Colorado because she has a new company called Silver Planet, and she's convinced that this is a company that's going to be really important to the baby boomer market. So sometimes I get phone calls from 18-year-olds who watch their grandparents not be able to remember their medication, and they come up with an idea, and sometimes I work with entrepreneurs that are 70 and 80 and 90. And I'll quote George Washington, who was president, but then when he was 60, he started his distillery business. So if any of us really felt flush anymore, we may not have to think about building a business as we get old, as we grow older. But really, the boomers are now 63. So why do we know? When was the baby boom? 1946 to 1964. So why did the baby boom start in 1946? Okay, the war ended. My young students don't always get that, but this group would know the war ended. Now, why did it end in 1964? Who said that? Okay, you just want a copy of my book. Very good. What's your name? Peggy, very good. Okay, so it was the end of the war to the birth of the pill. Now, that didn't just happen in the U.S. It happened globally. So if you take a look at this chart, this is really interesting. So if we look in the year 2025, the median age in the U.S. is going to be... Okay, and the number of retirees per, is it 300 workers? 100 workers. The number of retirees per 100 workers is going to be how many? 29. Okay, now let's look at China in the year 2025. So the median age in China is going to be 46, and the retirees per 100 workers is going to be how many? Yeah. So basically, if you can come up with an idea, and my goal in the next 25 minutes is to inspire you to come up with one idea about how you might finance your longevity by exploring the boomer market. So my oldest student in this area was 102, and she said to me, I can't see and I can't hear, but I love what you're doing. And I wasn't sure what she even knew about what I was doing. But you know what? There's a sense of spiritual efficacy that you feel anytime you're in a room of empowered, learning, older adults. And it's that efficacy that gives us strength to move on. And so, first of all, it's a global market. So do you ever remember when The Graduate? Okay, and what business did they say to go into? Oh, very good. Okay. Now, today, what business would you recommend people go into? Okay, why did you say retirement?
I just meet people who are going to be at that age when we thought we were going to be able to retire and not have to work anymore, but we're probably going to have
Right. There are more people in a hallway right now than I've ever seen in my life. More people that have been downsized through economic conditions. That when I teach my graduate classes, I teach the class, and then afterward I teach a hallway class for people that are in a hallway between one thing and the other. So what business would you go into now? Retirement, except that our 401k became a 201k, which became a 1-in-1 1-in-1/2K, although the market's up today, and one of the professors at Santa Clara says after it hits 8,500, it's going to go up and up. We hope so. And I heard an expert last week in Florida who said that the top part of the baby boomers may recover. The middle will certainly recover, and then the challenge is going to be for the children and what they inherit, you know. So you had an idea. I think you deserve a book for that answer. That's a really good answer. I was interviewed on NPR at the Consumer Electronics Show. This is the first year the Computer Electronics Show had a silver summit in Las Vegas, 120,000 people, but 300 people there to learn about the emergence of a lot of people that were in information technology or going into aging and technology. So I would say healthcare is one of those areas. And in the interview with NPR, the one line they picked up was, every dissidence of aging is a market opportunity. Every dissidence of aging is a market opportunity. So when the boomers hit 40, what did Nordstrom start to offer? Designer eyeglasses, right? Now, the other day I got a set of earrings that were actually hearing aids. And I fully expect Herman Miller to call soon and say, we want to have a designer wheelchair or mobility devices. And then we want a candy apple red walker. My mother thinks she has the Cadillac of walkers because hers is candy apple red. But I think it's so cute. My sister's a tennis player, and so for her more portable, lightweight walker, she has these pink tennis balls on the bottom because, it's cause for breast cancer. So if you really want to inspire the boomers, social cause-related marketing works. And I've been shopping with my mother when she has her more portable walker with these pink tennis balls, and she just gets compliment after compliment on her pink tennis ball walker. So you can just fully expect that the dynamic expression of the boomers to happen in these areas. Now, this morning, I think we bought the URL on the internet called diabesity. So I think that instead of plastics today, I would say diabetes. And the diabetes market is going to be huge. I just looked at the data of the amount and growth of obesity across this country, but it's not just in this country. In Japan, they're trying to tell people to lose weight, slim their waist. I saw Nutrisystems just launched a diabetes campaign. So diabetes and reverse mortgages are going to be two businesses. If your grandson or son comes home and says, I just got downsized as a high school teacher, what should I do next? Point them in that direction, because those are going to be big areas. But I'm going to show you some of the other areas as well. Now, this is a chart that a colleague of mine did at the Gerontological Society of America, and it just shows you in 2010, I can't quite read the bottom of this, so let's go shift over to 2010, and what percent of the population is 13.8 is 75 and above. In 2020, Marfrisa, how many are, okay, now let's shift to 2030, and what percentage of the population is going to be 75 and above? Almost half. Now, where's our, who told me they were in geriatrics? What's your first name? Nancy is in the sweet spot. You know, we all should follow what Nancy's doing, because this is going to be a really big industry. Skate where the puck is going. I mean, that's what Wayne Gretzky did. And the one thing about demography, it doesn't lie. So this giant group of Florence in Colorado with her new business, I think could actually work. So the fastest growing part of our population right now is 85 and over. So that's why you look at companies in San Francisco like Posit Science that are doing cognitive fitness software. That's a big market. Now, in the book, we show these five major trends, and this comes out of all of the material we've looked at, which is It's a global marketplace. My book came out 3 years ago. The second country to pick it up was Korea. China just did a version of the book. And now Baidu, a search engine, has senior search in China. So if you were going to launch a product aimed at this market, arthritis hand grips, you know, you should have a global strategy for your business. Secondly, technology. Companies like Intel, remember when Andy Grove was diagnosed with cancer and he went online and suddenly saw Intel moving from a technology company to a technology and healthcare company. A couple of years ago, I was in Philips in Eindhoven. Philips has the senior home apartment in their future with robots that remind you to go work out every day, and lighting that will help with Alzheimer's, and new kinds of technologies. So we're going to grow up into a technology-infused future. And let me just suggest that others have said that at 62, what we want to have is a 30 to 40-year bonus round. None of us wants to raise our hand and say, please give me a chronic disease. We want to avoid that at all costs. So what we want to have is a great long time in the middle. So we'd like to think that we're 62 to 102, and then we say goodbye. You know, then we walk off the earth. So what we don't want to have is suffer these diseases. So I taught a class for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, kind of a class like this, and we taught people how to write business plans. And I had a person who quit their job at San Francisco Airport as a police officer, and he was opening up personal fitness training for people 50 and over, discounted personal training. So the old rules were Social Security and your pension. Now, how many of you think you can retire with Social Security and your pension? What company did you work for? Okay. And how about you? Were you in a firm?
I was a city employee.
Okay. And we feel pretty good about those pensions. Anybody else? Pardon me? Firemen, those seem pretty solid. Now, I went to high school in 1966. I had a 65 Mustang, and the pretty girls that spoke two languages became Pan Am flight attendants. You know, you were going to, in our generation, you were going to be teacher, librarian, and if you were kind of adventurous and you took Spanish or French, then you got to be a Pan Am flight attendant. And so you'd fly all over the world, you got really good meals. Well, what happened to Pan Am? What happened to those pensions? They're all in this pension guarantee, and the health care costs, if you're in that, are one-fourth of what you thought that was going to be. So suddenly, United Airlines and others have had to take a look at, how am I going to finance my longevity? And our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will always be thinking about having to finance their longevity. That was not a concept that we grew up with. Now we're thinking about, how do I make up for my 401k? You know, or, you know, the reason Mexico Retire is such a big area now, flu withstanding, is because people are saying, I can cash out of my house at HP, you know, I'm done with HP, I'll leave Palo Alto, I'll go retire somewhere else where it's $200,000. So the new rules are about entrepreneurship, home offices, and for every, what we're going to talk about here is that when people purchase things, like when a woman falls, more money is spent than when a baby's born. When an older adult in their late 70s, early 80s falls, more money is spent than when a baby is born. If you look at the bridal market, the baby market, and the caregiving market is by far the largest market, and I'm going to show you some of the nuances of that market. So we want to think about fall prevention, but we don't think about fall prevention and then what happens in terms of real estate and aging and finding assisted living and the transactions that have to take place because someone's fallen in their home. And then lastly, we're going to talk a little bit about the brands that are developed and how social cause-related marketing becomes, you know, as we get older, it's not about more stuff. It's about experiences with people we care about, and it's about contributing to causes that matter. So I watched aging in the 1950s, and we would thought the government would kind of take care of us. Now, last week, what did we find out? That Medicare in 2017 has got to be funded, and that Social Security, you know, in a few years after that, is vulnerable. And so when what we're beginning to see now is, I'll show you some examples of now entrepreneurs and venture capitalists are funding companies aimed at this marketplace. This is a venture capital company in Connecticut called North Castle Partners, and Chip Baird created this slide, and it shows that healthy living and aging is a $480 billion industry, and it segments it by retirement and recreation, senior living and elder care, vitamins, which were a big part of their portfolio. How many of you take vitamins? Yeah. That's a good thing. It's pretty easy, okay? So you see the vision correction. This is another VC firm in San Francisco. Andy Donner shared this slide, and it just shows the growth of the fitness market, weight management. So healthy living is a good business to focus on. And any of you want to give us your cards or addresses after, we're glad to share these slides if you're interested. The dissidences of aging are market opportunities, and I just looked at the data. Do you know Brazil is the best place to go to get a hip replacement? They will cover 40% of the costs are 40% less than in the U.S. In Mexico, it's about 25%. In Thailand, it's about 35%. So you're going to see the boomers get together with their college alumni friends, and they're all going to go to Costa Rica, get their hips fixed and something else done while they're there. So what's interesting now is that Blue Cross actually published this report. I was at the press club in Washington the other day, and they were having a press conference handing out this report that shows the 12 places in the world you can go to get these areas fixed. So medical tourism is going to be a giant category in the future, and insurance, because the costs are lower, are saying, go ahead, we'll book you on America into Brazil and get that hip done. And so chronic disease management is an important area. There's going to be new technology solutions and new concierge services. I keynoted the Hearing Association conference. You know, you just think of former President Bill Clinton. He played that saxophone. He's a lot of rock bands like music. He wasn't the only one. And we're all going to see hearing loss be one of the new big industries. This is just the notion that you're seeing a lot of media pay attention to starting over. You're a restart. What do you do for the next part of your life? And so we are offering a conference in June in Silicon Valley, helping people become entrepreneurs now. So, you know, you have a sense of the market need. Now you need to think about how to write a business plan, how to build a business. And I know Craig of Craigslist. I don't see a lot of ads there saying must be 55 to qualify for VP of marketing. It's just not happening. So out of default, people are saying, okay, what can I take my skills and my knowledge and my work ethic and translate that into a business? This beautiful studio you see up here on the right-hand corner was a woman who was a marketing person in New York, and then she wanted to create a studio. Well, if you talk to the people in the real estate industry, studios, home offices are going to be a really big part. I mean, we're kind of having a little crisis this week because both children are coming home. And we're trying to figure out, where can we place them, you know? Because what happens is they think you're crying when they leave. In reality, you're calling the blind company to redecorate for the home office, right? And then they're back before you know it. Herman Miller is an example of this brand, and the technology companies are getting it. The Best Buy knows that the Geek Squad goes to help us because, you know, I said one time, I have a newsletter called the Boomer Senior Market Report, and I said, you know, I've already betting in 2020 I'm taking a place up in Sonoma with a great wine bar and a SysOp so we can all get there and they can help fix our computers and the printers when they don't work because the technology keeps changing. I have a new iPhone, and I'm just learning how to do the different applications, you know. And so it's going to be the way we share pictures of our pets and our grandchildren and so forth. So you can see businesses there. Now, the caregiving population, you're going to spend more time as a caregiver than you did as a parent raising a child. So you could be a caregiver for 22 years, whereas your children somewhat leave the nest at 17. And, you know, when you walk down the street with two-year-old children, people stop and say, oh, your twins are so cute. When you walk down the street with someone that's 90 and they are, you know, are challenged just in terms of mobility, it's a different kind of stress because you're watching their decline. Whether it's mental, how many of you are caregivers in here? Some kind. And we haven't even begun to scratch the surface because we're going to be caring for our parents. So you have two parents at 40. At 50, you usually have one. And that remaining parent could live 20 more years. So Gail Sheehy's writing a wonderful new book on caregiving, just like she did the book Passages. And she said in a speech we had last year, you know, what she's defining are the passages of caregiving. And she said, you know, I want to be really great. I want to be known to have been a really good caregiver to my mother. You know, I want that to be a distinction I can hold. I want to be really great as a grandmother. I want to be a great mentor. So as we create the new mosaic of our lives in this phase, we have to think about how much time is spent on caregiving. The average caregiver spends about 20 hours a week. And it's often without pay. And if you look at the workforce, you see about 37% of the people in the workforce also toggling caregiving. And also, it's sometimes long distance. So we see a range of services that are being designed for caregivers. And this is why Philips and Posit Science, and this is the Jitterbug phone that Arlene Harris created, the large print phone. So I want to talk a little bit about the women's marketplace. Women influence 80% of the purchasing decisions. They're the chief health officer of the family, and often the chief caregiving officer of the family. Although in San Francisco, often in other places, we often see it's the gay son that also contributes a lot to the caregiving. So you see that we have a lot, if you pick up the tabloids, you see a lot of images of young people in the tabloids, scandals. Except for Helen Mirren in a bathing suit, you rarely see pictures of older women. And yet, Jane Glenn Haas created something called Women Sage, and she found that many women, their friendships were in the workforce, but after they left the workforce, there was no place to go and gather and meet friendships. So she created a room with round tables, and pretty soon women gathered together, and they created a subgroup called Loose Women, which were women who were single, and pretty soon the married women saw how much fun the loose women were having, and they wanted to go to theater and parties with them. And so we have to look at the new affinities that are going to form as we get older, and I think you're fortunate to have this club because it's one of the places those affinities form. So people are not thinking about, how do I design a car for this older woman? And yet, they have a lot of the assets. And so, it's the most misunderstood market in the country, maybe in the world. So, you know, we have to look at the decisions that they make and think about how to speak to them. Now, also, we're seeing a shift in terms of where people are living. And you're seeing cities like San Diego, Santa Fe, Portland, Ashland, Sarasota, Florida. I was in Sarasota last week, and there's so many people moving to Sarasota just starting over. You know, they were in New York, and they want to get out of there, and so they're just going to go reinvent themselves in this next phase of life because they've got 30 more years, and they want to find like-minded souls. So the Osher Lifelong Learning Program here in San Francisco is another place where people find friendships, and it's often in the passions. So if you talk to Harley Davidson, the motorcycle riders, they're often over 40 or 50. In fact, they had to, Look at the design of those. AARP now offers motorcycle insurance. They're also online. And so we're seeing blogs and networks and emailing. And my son was in Argentina a while back playing rugby, and I picked him all up at San Francisco Airport and took him to In-N-Out Burger. And I said, Michael, why didn't you send me an email so I could know you were okay? And he said, I just updated my Facebook page. And I said, I should have checked your Facebook page. And his friend looked at me. He was so appalled. He said, Mrs. Furlong, you're on Facebook. I said, don't worry, I don't go there very often. But the notion is that the print advertising market is shrinking. So you look at things like our Port Chronicle we're trying to save, the Seattle Times we're trying to save, the New York Times we're trying to keep afloat. So those old institutions are kind of going away, while mobile marketing and telemarketing and emailing are becoming growth markets. I was in New Zealand a while back, just joined the board of a little company called Run the Red, like Run the Red Light, and it's marketing messages on your cell phone. Well, the cell phone is going to become more important to the boomers than their computers as they grow older. And so you need to think about developing strategies for that. And they're using Google all the time. Don't Google my picture, though, because Mary Furlong is the top transvestite in Ireland, and it's not me. But, you know, it's so funny. People Google their dates. You go to work and your students Google you before you're there, you know. So you have to be really careful. That's why I have to delineate. Don't use my Google picture without consulting me, you know. Okay, and this is just showing the growth of mobile growth. And what I'm really thrilled about is Steve Jurvetson of Draper Fisher Jurvetson, one of the top venture capitalists in Silicon Valley, stood up at the Churchill Club last year, and they were predicting the trends of investing. There was clean energy and, of course, new technologies. And Steve said demography is destiny. We're going to invest in companies related to this market. So he's one of the investors in Posit Science. And I love it that we can see capital flowing into new inventions so that we can support some of these entrepreneurs. June 17th, we do a business plan competition. We've done this for 6 years. Some of our people who enter are mid-career, and some are from top universities. You're all welcome to come. And we give away a $10,000 prize for the best idea. And this year, all the prize money is going to be raised from the success of previous participants, like ideas like pet insurance. Do you know 1 in 3 people call their pet at home and talk every day? How many of you have pets? Yeah. So empty nester pets is a big category. You know, now when I go and I travel, I bring Annie the Golden Lab, my empty nester dog that my son gave to me, to watch. She's like Marley. She's always into something. And I bring my mother's caregiver's gifts. It's no longer bringing things back for the children. Okay, and so lastly, I just want to say that the third act for the boomers, in my opinion, will be the defining one. And it's that sense of magic and experience and the desire to live the world a better place that's so important. And I think Tom Brokaw said, it's not okay to wire our world if we don't connect the soul. And I hope you think about not only financing your own longevity, but also becoming inspired about this marketplace and sharing and creating new products and services to support the growth of older adults. Thank you so much.
We'd like to remind our listening audience this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you're listening to Mary Furlong, Turning Silver into Gold. We have time for one or two more questions. Mary, will you be available to take them? Thank you.
Yes. Tell me your name, please.
My name is Richard. Do you see a future in group housing?
The question was, do you see a future in group housing? I think group housing is one of the biggest ideas. So Grass Valley, I love your question, so pepper them, okay? Grass Valley, we're not going to be able to afford the $58,000 a year to move into assisted living. It's just not, the money's not going to work with the average savings of a boomer's around $40,000. And so looking at group housing, which is kind of like the communes we were in with less excitement, I think, where there's a center in the middle where there could be a common place where you cook dinner three nights a month, and if you want to travel, other people kind of watch your place. But it's this kind of back to the 60s. Big idea. It's a big idea. Those are good questions. First of all, I think that there's going to be a disintermediation, a cutting out of some of the agencies, and brands are going to be able to go directly to portals. So if you go on Yahoo or you go on AOL, you could reach 40 million baby boomers in either place. So if... you know, I've always wanted, maybe when someone who's listening, one of my ideas I've never been able to execute on is to create a widow support network. We don't have one in this country. I don't see anyone else do it. I get Google alerts for widows, so I see those. They come in, and I watch the trends. I'm not sure. I know that loss and grief, just like your next speaker, is going to be a big issue. So I think that people are going in different ways to reach that consumer, and I think you can learn a lot from watching the patterns of participation online. So we did a campaign when I was at Third Age around sleeping better. Now, 1 in 3 baby boomers have trouble sleeping. I think even more have trouble sleeping right now because of the markets. And so, you know, I think if you engage the consumer around healthy behaviors like lowering their cholesterol or finding out how to sleep, there's different ways you can get there to do that. And I think we always feel better when there's a bit of giving back in what we do. At least I do. I mean, we're building, helping a developer build a resort in Mexico. And I said, I don't want to get involved if it's just a resort in Mexico. The resort's called Tehama, and it's... kind of a combination Canyon Ranch and Aspen Institute, but it's inexpensive. It's, you know, lower than $200,000 to purchase in there. And what it captures is the learning. But I said, if we're there learning, and it turns out one of my students bought one of these, so I met her when I was down there, but we adopted an orphanage right there so that a percentage of all the profits goes right to the orphanage. And how many days of the week can you play golf? Or, you know, you're there and you don't really, in our skin, we can't be on the beach all week. You know, so getting engaged. The two top areas of travel right now are service travel, where you go and do a project, and grandparent-grandchildren travel. Because we spoil the kids enough. We just want to leap right over to the grandchildren. Well, the question about the demographic trends, we've asked the demographers. So in my book, the former editor-in-chief of American Demographics worked with me on the book, so the data is pretty rigorous. And the charts you see here come from demographers. So we can just follow those population trends. I mean, there's a wonderful new weblog, called Aging in Place. And so Lori Orloff was an analyst at Forrester. Now she's moved to Florida and started this blog. And she tracks, like, what changes are people making to their homes to stay in their homes? Can you change the lighting? One half of all the falls are in the bathroom. So, you know, what we do know, I was in Florida last week, there's a lot of older people in Florida. Now, you know what's happened to the high-rises? They're not selling. So they're going to the venture capitalists saying, can you make these into assisted living facilities? Well, you know, my question, I think, is it Richard? The reason Richard should win a book, I think, yes, is because we've got to find lower-cost alternatives. We've got to find ways in which people can afford to grow older with grace and dignity and some financial security. And I don't know that we're all going to move to Costa Rica. So, you know, I was in Europe, and I was talking about this, and I said, you know, you could buy a home in Arkansas for $103,000. I think we're going to see tons of people from France moving to Arkansas. You know, we have great restaurants there. So mobility is another issue. Second question. Well, you know, I work with a company in Spain called Fatronic, and this region in San Sebastian, Spain, they called me and said, would you come to Spain? Oh, okay, sounds like a good gig. Well, it turns out that's one of the places in the world where people live longer. Have you heard of blue zones? It tells you where people live longer. So this region in Spain decided what they needed to do was create a fund to invest in new technologies related to aging and reap the benefits of selling the patents of the technologies that they came up with. And the people that put money into the fund were not just the venture community. It was grocery stores. It was local businesses that couldn't see that region getting better. And they thought, well, why don't we invest in this? So the question is, do we see that the price, you know, the hearing aid market went from 130 companies down to 6. So now you're seeing people look at innovations in hearing. You know, there was, you know, this Christmas, my mother was at our house, and I said, where are you going? She had her candy apple red walker. She had her eggnog on it. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm just going in the other room to play the Wii. So, you know, I love that picture of her because, you know, she was a championship tennis player. She was going to give the Wii a shot. So Nintendo did not think that their customer was an assisted living facility. Now you would be so out of it to not create it. Should be every nursing home and assisted living facility in the country has a brain gym and a cognitive fitness center. And so the number one fear people have is losing their mental acuity, you know. So we're going to see giant innovations here. So we have POSIT, we have Cognitive Fit, we have Luminosity, we've got the Wii. We're going to EA is Electronic Arts is looking at this market. You know, it used to be we just do Sudoku or the crossword puzzle. Now, if we can do things to keep that brain fit. I didn't say anything about the grandparent market, which is, you know, 60 million grandparents, average age 47. There's no price point on what we're going to spend on the dessert for life, the grandchildren. You know, the person who's at work that's 47, that has two children to drive to soccer, and is a caregiver, has no time, you know? So, but yet, if you find that women at work now, they don't go out to lunch, online banking finds this big spike at noon where people, working moms, go online, manage their health, manage their money. So You need a caregiver strategy and you need a senior strategy. But don't for a minute think that seniors don't spend a lot of time online. From SeniorNet, we learn they spend 4 hours a day online. They manage their money. They manage their health. WebMD reaches 120 million people. And, you know, now the joke is, you know, I'm going to the doctor for the second opinion because I've already been online to find the first opinion. Other questions? We didn't talk about fashion and beauty, but you can just imagine that's a big market too. We didn't talk about very much about dating. That's going to be a big market. And yoga is going to be a big market. And ballroom dancing is, if you don't want to do cognitive fitness software, the second best thing you can do is do dancing. So go home and say, honey, we have to take lessons. You know, it's really good for you. Oh, yes. Yes. Good.
And I fall because so many older people do fall. My husband was a fireman, and he said very often, if he moves out the neighborhood, they would get a call. I haven't seen Mrs. So-and-so. She always takes a walk every day. Firemen would go in, Mrs. So-and-so had fallen on the floor in their hall and couldn't get to a phone. So I do think that people that are older should have a way to keep in touch with people, check up on them every day.
Oh, absolutely. And Philips bought Lifeline, you know, a couple of years back. If you have a colleague or friend whose home is older, there are lots of places you can go online and go to Lori Orloff's blog to look at them in terms of how to do an assessment. Just go in and just say, you know, what are the little, we don't think about it till it happens, but what's that little throw rug in the bathroom? And it's so easy to kind of make some of those changes. And, you know, who among us doesn't, you know, it turns out that a design for aging is just good universal design. So if you get that right, then we can all see. Thank you. You've been a very bright, engaged audience. Thank you.
Our thanks to Mary Furlong for her comments here today. We also thank our audience here as well as the listening audience. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California commemorating its 105th year of enlightened discussion is adjourned.